Before we get into the podcast, guys, I want to make a big disclaimer. In no way, shape, or form are my co-hosts and I or any guests that we have on a replacement for a mental health specialist. We do not have the credentials for a mental health specialist, nor are we trying to substitute a mental health specialist for you or anyone else who may be watching or listening to the podcast. We are simply just guys on the internet sharing their experiences of things that they've gone through and what we have done to be able to push past them in a way that can hopefully inspire, lead, and motivate and let today be a better day for you guys than yesterday. And as a reminder, if you do want to catch the live segment of this podcast, don't forget to stop by our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/thinktheory. We are live with the podcast every single Monday at 6:30 p.m. EST. And if you want more content, check out our YouTube channel, also under the Think Theory name. We post there weekly, and I hope you guys enjoy the podcast. First ever episode of the Think Theory podcast, guys. Episode number one with the vegan teacher. Veganator Alpha himself. Sorry, I'm sorry that came out naturally.
It's all good. It's on the ground.
In today's episode, we are going to be discussing something quite amazing, and it is an age-old topic. And today, we are going to be talking about, does money buy happiness? And I'm going to start this off right off the rip and say, yes, I am a firm believer that money can buy happiness. What about you?
If money could buy happiness, wouldn't it be easy to just be happy all the time? Granted, there could be recessions within the economy, so maybe you can't get a job that easily. But I don't know. I just...
All right, so here's my thing, right? So here's what I think, right? I don't know about you, but if I had $100,000 sitting in my bank account, I wouldn't necessarily be the most upset. Now, granted, $100,000 can't solve a lot of the, you know, personal problems, but it buys you time. It gives you time. I feel a lot more comfortable, right, making or creating a family, meaning having a child and all that stuff, if I had 100 G's sitting in the bank account, right? And I also like things. Okay. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I like things. I like things a lot, you know what I mean? And I want to be able to go get those things. Those things make me happy. However, what I really feel like when people say, does money buy happiness? I feel like what they are trying to ask or say or ask, does money buy you purpose? And that's how I see it. See, money and purpose are two separate things. I don't believe that you can get a purpose about with having a bunch of money. What I do think personally is that you have a lot of time and flexibility. The more money that you have and the lower your expenses are, you know, you can buy yourself time to be able to explore and really get to know yourself, to get more of an understanding of what it is that your purpose is. For me, I believe everyone's put on this earth to do something, you know, to whatever that may be. We all have something that we were born with, a special talent or something that we were meant to give back to this world. And I feel when you have more time or you focus on more time, especially if you have money, that can really happen. I don't believe though that just by sitting and having money that you can just sit there and be happy and or rather have purpose. I don't know. What do you think?
Bringing up the purpose part, you know, I kind of agree. I have to say that if I had $100,000 in the bank, I definitely would afford a better Walmart connection for my internet. So yeah, that probably clear up a lot of issues for me. As far as purpose, I think it opens up the opportunity for it, and not it isn't necessarily purpose itself. So I would say no, money can't buy you purpose. Can it buy you happiness? Actually, kind of, because you kind of sold me on the first argument right out the bat. It's like, what problem do I have right now that can't be solved by money? And I can't think of one.
Yeah, right. And I think that's actually, I mean, guys, we all obviously know what happened. We're currently still experiencing the pandemic and the effect of the pandemic. As someone who does this obviously part-time, this is something that I do on the side. And I work at a restaurant, you know, full-time. It's very difficult for us to be able to even get people to come in. Because right now, there's a large amount of people that don't even feel comfortable because, you know, COVID-19 is still very prevalent. It's out there. And, you know, people just don't feel comfortable. There's also some people that are abusing the system in terms of, you know, unemployment and stuff like that. That's a political issue that we can dive into a different conversation about. However, you know, I think that a lot of us can agree, though, especially with the year that we had in 2020, that if we had money, a lot of our stress would be alleviated, you know. And in that way, I think it would be, it would definitely create a lot of happiness. I mean, at least it would for me, you know. I don't think that it's going to buy you purpose. And then that's another conversation, you know. How many people struggle even just finding their purpose? You know, like, what about you? Do you find yourself, you know, do you find yourself having a difficulty with finding your purpose, or, you know, anything along those lines?
Yes, definitely. I have to say, I spent the majority of my life just trying to find a reason for me just being here. You know, what am I supposed to do? I spent so many years. I'm 27. I just turned 27 in April. I'm still trying to find that purpose, but more of a focus. I didn't even have that focus for probably the first 23 years. I was still in college trying to find that. So yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I think a lot of college is a
different conversation. Oh,
yeah.
Guys, I agree. Here's another conversation. I mean, for those of you guys watching and listening, you know, I really would love to know you guys' take. I mean, imagine how many people go to college just because society tells them they need them, like they need to go to college. And this is not me saying that there's anything wrong with going to college. Right. Mm-hmm. I take it that was you.
Yes, and definitely.
I'm not saying that there is anything wrong with going to college, because there are some degrees that you absolutely need to, like a medical degree, you need to go to college for that. You need to get a formal education. You know, but my gosh, how many people have just gone into just severe debt? And I'm gonna be honest with you, I include myself in this as well, guys. As many of you guys know, before I decided to take a break and pursue this full time, I really, you know, which even then, I still do it part time. But I started, you know, this while I was going to college, and I was going to school for engineering. And, you know, for me, engineering was really great. You know, I kind of got a little bit of a taste of it, you know, with some previous experiences in New Jersey and stuff like that at a company that I worked at, and it was electrical engineering. And I was like, wow, I can really see myself actually being pretty damn good with this. And, you know, I liked the idea of it. I liked the 9-to-5. I was like, you can kind of have like a life, you know, and it was pretty good. And then I started realizing the kind of money you can make after that. And at the time, I was like, heck yeah, let's go, baby. You know, but I can tell you that then at that time when I made the decision, you know, I was like, cause I felt a lot of pressure. I felt a lot of pressure with people around me going to colleges and graduating at a time where I hadn't even gone to college. I was like, I feel like I should be getting my life together or something like that, because I cared about what other people thought. And then, you know, after moving to Pennsylvania, and I then proceeded to go to college and stuff like that for engineering and stuff. You know, I started doing it and I got pretty dang far into the program before I decided to just stop. And people are like, why'd you stop? What do you mean?
And I didn't want to do it.
Right. It wasn't so much that I didn't want to do it, though. I really just wanted to, realistically speaking, I realized that I was spending a lot of time and I was chasing engineering because of the social status that it had. You know, when you say you're an engineer, there's something proud that goes behind that. Society looks at you in a specific way. And in terms of income, you're making a good income. You know what I mean? And that the income was the biggest thing, you know, like I wanted to help people. And the only way that I can do that is to get something to work at a job that required a large amount of income, you know, or that gave me a large amount of income. And a lot of people are like, well, you don't start off making a lot of money right off college. There's a lot more money than I would working at a restaurant. I can tell you that, you know, but nonetheless, I personally dropped out. I guess, yeah, I said it. It's out. I'm out. I dropped out of college, you know, at least out of that degree. And, you know, I chose not to go down that way. I don't know if you guys can relate, you know, but there is this social, like, norm, for lack of better words, where people feel like they have to go to college. And I'm going to be a little bit upfront in y'all faces and say that you don't need to, man. And matter of fact, if you don't even know what you want to do in life, I think you get more value by exploring life at an age where you're capable of doing that than going to college and getting yourself in an immense amount of debt, jumping from, you know, different degrees and stuff like that and whatnot, and trying to get different, you know, or dropping out of classes as well too, because you can't handle it, you know? And I don't think that that's a smart idea. That's just, yeah, and debt, exactly. Debt is, you know, Galaxy in the chat said that debt is cringe, and he's not wrong. You know, as someone who's, I'm ready to start my life and everything. And I know that I'm going to get some criticism here, But like, I'm the type of person, man, I don't want to build, you know, that sounds so wrong. I don't want to, you know, create my family in terms of having a child and everything and be, you know, and get into that in a marriage and everything without debt just being like very small or completely gone. You know, I just, debt is just a huge, huge problem in this country, you know, and I don't know if it's a thing in the United or outside the United States. I mean, I know debt is, but I mean, as bad as it is in the United States, I mean, we have just in college that we have trillions of dollars in debt, you know, and some people, most people default on it and they don't even pay it. You know, and it's just, it's sad. It really is. And then it stops you from getting other things as well too, which is conversation for a different day. But yeah, that's my take on finding a purpose is, you know, what about you? You know, by the way, for everyone who's watching, his name is Nelson. I'm going to call him Nelson. You know, we can sure. Yeah. But what's
you can call me Bub. So you can call me Bub too.
Bub. Yeah. B-U-B. Just in case if you guys are watching or listening, that's what it is. Two B's. Oh, two B's?
B-U-B-B.
Oh, B-B. Oh my gosh. But anyways, what about you? You know, as someone who's gone to college and, you know, you said you experienced that yourself. what's your take on it? You know, from your perspective, what are you now learning? Is there anything that you want to share with us that, you know, anyone that may be watching and maybe going through a similar situation?
Me personally, I 110% agree with everything that you're saying. College was good and I learned a lot. It refines your thinking very, very well. And I went through the calculus. A little bit about me. I'm a draftsman by trade. I currently work at an engineering and surveying division in a company that's not too far from home. And it's great. It's awesome. But I'm a draftsman. I initially went to college for architecture. And you're talking about debt. My sister studied business psychology in a university. She's actually pursuing her master's degree. I'm sorry, her PhD, doctorate degree, her PhD. She is like $100,000. And she has a husband who is into the biologies and the sciences and whatnot. And that's another $100,000 in debt. For me, as an architect, I would have been $200,000 in debt by the time I'd finished my 5-year program. Being an architect, you're talking about being an engineer, having that status. Yeah, that's wonderful. And at the time, that kind of put like a curtain in front of my face and said, you know, it just focus on this tunnel on that, tunnel on the cred, tunnel on the money. But it saps your creative thinking. Now, you know, maybe I can't see chat because I have my Walmart connection, so I can't see if anybody's agreeing with me or not. But you might think, oh, well, but like, you're studying to be an architect, you know, that should be like all the creative thinking in the world. No, it's not. It's surprising how much structure there is in college. It doesn't teach you how to be a creative thinker. It teaches you how to do what you're told.
Almost think within the boundaries.
Yes, there's a certain level where you can roam free, but at the same time, it doesn't teach you how to just expand like entrepreneurship. It's very interesting how different things are when you're going through some kind of program in college versus, you know, being an entrepreneur as far as creative thinking. And I feel that right out of the bat at high school, right when you graduate, you need to harness that creative energy.
Ooh, yeah.
So if you have any viewers that are in high school, please dive into the arts. Dive into what you want. Because I could say me personally, I would have actually studied robotics like I originally wanted I was young. Yeah. And what I wanted was, you know, adult Legos. And I used to build everything. And Brian probably knows. Yeah. I had a huge tub of Legos that I would just play. But it was creative energy that I was using. And it was after high school when I transitioned to the college where I was like, here's where you can make a lot of money. And I was just like, okay, just take all my creative freedom and just check that.
Right.
But that was the worst thing possible. Now, I'm not saying college is not good in any way, shape, or form. College is great. The timing has to be right. What I would recommend is if you're planning on studying anything, if you're planning on doing anything, do it first. Not in the collegiate. Maybe get an internship. Maybe get a job. See if you can wiggle your way into the workforce, even if just for like a little bit. Work for a year and put it on your resume, you're done. That's there forever. You could carry that with you. And if you liked it, then go to college, pursue it, because you already know there's so many statistics showing that college graduates graduate and they're like,
what's next?
I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
No, not yeah, that too. It's like, what's next? But like, what? I don't want to do this after all this time and all this debt. So I coming full circle, I agree with you. I really, really do. I would have to say it's all about timing from my experience. And I was fortunate to have a certain modicum of good timing. But even then, I still would have done a lot of things differently just to kind of make sure that my ride would be seamless, you know, going through.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. We have a couple people in the chat that brought us some things. So first, Epiphany said, beyond just getting knowledge from school, what about networking? I found that I found so many people within my field whom I can network with. Do you think you've had similar abilities while going to / finishing school? I guess for me, I'm gonna give a little bit of my experience, because though I didn't finish college, I definitely, so like in terms of the networking aspect, I definitely do agree. College is a great way to network. The school that I was going to had a lot of different connections because it was right by the Capitol near Harrisburg and stuff like that. They had a lot of connections from, you know, something like small government agents, small companies that had government contracts, some that were, you know, in like government agencies and in electrical engineering and stuff like that. Others just were state jobs and stuff like that, to just regular old mom and pop shop, you know, engineering firm. But I can tell you that though that is great, I've actually made the most useful connections and in terms of networking, working at a restaurant than I did from a college. Because like, here's the thing though. I think one of the things that college does too much, it pushes too much focus on like the numerical representation of someone's ability to be able to memorize information, you know? And, you know, that doesn't mean just because you have a high GPA that you only memorize information and you can't apply it. That's not at all what I'm saying. But I feel like from a lot of the companies that I was connecting with and stuff like that, they place such a huge like importance on, oh, your GPA needs to be this, you need to do this, you need to do that. Now, in terms of courses, that's completely different. You need to have specific courses underneath your belt, especially in the field of electricity, you know, because you need to understand how electricity works, the do's and don'ts, because that's, with any other thing, is literally life and death. You know, that can kill someone and could kill you, you know, and that's the reality of it. And I can understand that, you know, but at the same time, I've witnessed it firsthand that there are people that have an excellent mentality and that are able to apply things. They're hands-on worker, but they're just so bad at taking tests, at applying information, but they'll be the first person to be able to show you the best way to do it through experience. And honestly, that's one of the things that I probably have to say I didn't like about the form of networking that I was doing in school. I prefer a lot of the more real world conversations and stuff like that. What about you?
What was Epiphany's question?
It says, exactly. Beyond just getting the knowledge from school, what about networking? I have found so many people within my field whom I can network with. Do you think you've had similar abilities without going to / finishing school?
Well, I too also dropped out of school. I didn't finish my degree. I didn't want the debt, and I knew I could do it without getting into debt. So going along the lines of networking while in college, there are a lot of networking capabilities and possibilities. You know, you can always find teachers that would be like, hey, I'll write you a letter of reference, or hey, how about you talk to one of my friends or whatever. There's always going to be that. In the workforce, magnify that by like 10. You're always going to find people that are already working in the industry. They see you already working in the industry. And it's just like, hey, dude, maybe you could just do better over here at my company. Or hey, maybe you need this position instead because you're good at this, or you might be better at that. I feel like there's so much networking that you can do in the job than you can do in college. Does it exist in college? Yes. Honestly, the best networking I've ever done, it's going to sound interesting, but at community college.
Oh,
I kid you not.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, all the university has is people from that university because it's a business. So they're not going to promote anything else. They want to promote themselves. Community colleges are kind of like that, but they hire from different universities. So you get a whole bunch of different people from everywhere. I've talked to people that work for the government and CIA, FBI, for NASA. I've talked with Princeton, university teachers, and on and on and on and on. They helped me get into the archery club. That's how I got all my gold medals. There's so many connections you can make in college. But I can't stress enough, if you could like get an internship, maybe work for like a summer or do anything to get into the workforce. Like I said, it doesn't have to be some long-term thing. Maybe like a summer, maybe a year. Maybe if you like it, maybe longer than that. It doesn't matter. Get into the workforce, you'll meet so many different people that can guide you in many different directions. For example, actually, I worked at Acme for like 3 years. I had nothing to do with architecture, I can tell you that. That's for sure. I worked at Acme, a local grocery store. I met so many people that were like, hey, why don't you take a coding class? Because I used to do it for like 30 years until I was retired. Lena, the girl, or woman, actually, in a salad bar, she did coding for the government. I was like, what? You meet so many people. Whereas in college,
she worked at Acme and worked for the government?
Yeah, she was retired.
Oh.
She retired from that. And then she's bored. Wanted another job. Yeah, she's bored, basically. Yeah. And I think she moved with her family in Britain, or back in Britain or something like that by the time I left. But she was like, yeah, you have a bright mind. You know C++, you know Python, you know JavaScript. Why don't you become like an ethical hacker? And I'm like, oh, okay. Calm down there. Cut your pineapples. Put your carrots. Like,
but you know, it's easy for her to say that though, because obviously this is where the experience comes in. Like, it's one of those things where you can learn, like theoretically be able to comprehend how to execute something, but to actually do it is a whole different level, you know? Yes. And like, there are a lot of people that can just spot that, you know, because of experience and being in that particular field, you know, and they can spot some like-minded people. They can spot people that will have the potential to do that. And it's really a nice thing too. And I think that it's something that should occur more often. But nowadays people just like, don't want to hear anything. I feel like, you know, there's a lot of people unfortunately shut off, you know, to other open opinions, or it could just be sometimes like, let's say I was going up to you and I came across you and I was having that conversation. It's like, you know, I really think you have a great mind to do so and so. So it could be the way that I'm approaching you as well too. There's so many different variables. True. But so before we move on, we have a couple other things too. Technolem in the chat said, I'm 31 and just finished up my MBA for software programming and cybersecurity, but he experienced the first in the army. This is also another route that I would probably say that this is a good route for a lot of people. People who don't know what they want to do in life, but they do want to do something and they have the drive to try, but don't know where to start, you know, and don't mind, you know, being an active duty soldier and trying something, you know, the ASVAB, you know, the test is like as black and white as it can get in terms of breaking career fields into categories, basically, and different job opportunities that you have. I really am a far like, I'm for that, you know, for people who want to do that. You know, actually recently, in the beginning of last year, there was a coworker of mine that I was talking to him about, you know, the military and stuff like that. And he's like, you know, at first he was going for financing because it was in his family. He wasn't sure about that. Then he changed like a chem major. He's like, I just don't know what I want to do with it, this and that. And I was like, look, I was like, this is just my opinion. I'm just your coworker. I'm not your family. I can't tell you anything. But I told them, I was like, look, if you're in a situation where you genuinely don't know what you want to do, but you're willing to travel and you want to travel at the same time and get a different life experience, I think that the military, specifically the Air Force, in terms of, you know, the knowledge that you have to offer, I think can open up a lot of opportunities for you. He ended up going into the Air Force and he loves it. He's active duty on the Air Force, you know. Now, that's not the same cup of tea for everyone, but I think that is a great suggestion for sure. King Abu in the chat says, nowadays society makes us think in a linear way. We need to think in a non-linear way, meaning be creative. Like Vaganator mentioned, kids need to learn how to think outside the box. Amen to that. I really do agree with that. Yeah, because like, I think that's, you know, and I don't, it's complicated because maybe it's just more my optimistic side, guys, but I am a firm believer that I don't think that was intentionally thought. like, or like taught into other people, you know, like in terms of just being able to stay within this confinement, not learning how to think outside the box. I think that that was just a natural byproduct of having such, you know, structure, I guess, or, you know, having these educational system structured the way that it is. And I think that as over time, you know, things progress, that they kind of learn to stop thinking outside the box, because it's not as maybe, you know, and it's different per school. And there's, you know, many of you guys may be listening or watching, you may disagree with this, and that's perfectly okay, because, you know, your experience from school was completely different from mine. But in my school, I can tell you personally, like, we had a decent amount of programs that actually allow you to explore your creative sides. And I think I'm really grateful for that. But there's a lot of schools that aren't fortunate enough to be able to do that, or they live in a lower income area where they can't even afford to do that, you know. And that's, you know, that's another conversation for a different podcast. But, you know, that's just the reality of it, you know. And I think that that's, I'm with you, King Abu. You know, definitely having the ability to be able to honestly just take the time to slow down and really charge your mind and challenge yourself, you know. And like, the whole purpose of this channel and this podcast, you know, that's what I want to do, is I want people to get inspired, to lead and to motivate, because we're just two average Joes, man. We're no one special, you know, but we've gone through a decent amount of things in our lives, you know, and hardships and things that I feel like a lot of people can benefit from, you know. And I think that, you know, together, collectively, you know, really just trying to help each other out, man. We don't, there's enough hate, life is difficult enough as it is, you know, that we don't need to make it any more complicated for anyone else, you know. And granted, there are people that make it difficult for themselves, you know, other people suffer from other, you know, there's a lot of different variables nonetheless, but yeah.
I was one of them, yeah. I'll say it.
Yes, yep. Vaginator here, guys, for you guys watching, with someone that we, you know, he's my best friend, I've known him my entire life, you know, he's my fiance's cousin, and you know, he was definitely, he definitely met a lot of the different challenges that we posed, you know, we brought up to him with a lot of resistance. But, you know, to give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt, at the same time, it's a little difficult for him to just take his entire mentality, just, you know, in a matter of a few months, apply it. You know, that's an entire lifetime of learning that you're going to try to challenge and unlearn. You know, you really have to want to have the desire to be able to improve yourself in doing that. Epiphany said, this may be too big of a topic for right now, but now, but how do you feel, given phones to young kids these days are affecting their ability to think creatively / critically? Do you think it's giving them an outlet for that, or depriving them, of the chance? So do you want to go first? I'll let you go first.
Hell yeah, go first. Kids should not have phones at an early age. And I'm not speaking from like, oh, I'm a 94 person. You shouldn't have
a boomer. Go away, boomer.
Against technology. No, definitely. I love technology, and give technology to all the creative minds out there. With that being said, let's look at the statistics for kids with phones. They're less creative, as we talked about. They're less attentive. They are being trained by their own phones to get what they want immediately. Google does not work at 10 bits a second. It works at trillions of bits a second. So anything that they want, good or bad, is at their fingertips at any point. They don't have to work for it. So if it's up to me, I'd wait until they're actually mentally prepared for that. And I would say into their teens. I would give them a fighting chance if you really think about it, because it's their life. You know, one wrong move at that early of an age, they're screwed up.
I can agree
up.
With that. I mean, you can, you, yeah, if they wander off too far, you know, and I agree with that. As many of you guys know, you know, I'm very open. I suffer from a pornography addiction, you know, and I'm not ashamed to admit that. It's something that I'm actively trying to fix. But the reason why I brought that up, though, is because, you know, there, imagine a kid that is at a very malleable state mentally, and then wanders off to the wrong sites. That can do a lot of damage. Now,
but also take that one child and put him in a good situation where he has good parents, good everything. Suddenly he has everything at his fingertips. He's subconsciously being taught that he doesn't have to work for anything. Eventually it will come at lightning speed to him. That it's teaching him not just to be mentally lazy, but it saps the creative energy. That thought process of like, okay, well, what could I do to grow? It's like, oh no, I'd just rather watch TikTok because instant gratification.
I can understand that. For me, I to answer that question for you, Epiphany, I think that it both gives them an outlet and also deprives them at the same time. I think they go hand in hand. And the reason why I say this is, I think it's really dependent on the structure of the household. I don't think that there's anything wrong with kids having a device if they understand, if the parents structure in a way where they can understand the consequences of it. If they put parental controls, which by the way, parental controls aren't as easily made. I mean, they're accessible, but they're not as user-friendly to find as most people would like to think. For us, it is. But for parents and stuff like that, you know, and at that point, like I personally feel like if you can't even find the parental controls or know how to get a hold of someone that does, you should not even literally like give your kid any form of technology. However, I do think that technology can actually have a great creative outlet, you know. It really depends if you have good structure with the phone and of course, you know, put good parental control on there. And yes, they can still veer off, but it's all about reducing the probability, you know, of them veering off to somewhere they shouldn't be, because then they get exposed to so much more than what's in front of them. See, for me, as someone who is big at stepping out of my comfort zone, I can say that I personally am a huge fan of being exposed to things way bigger than me, because it makes me see the opportunities out there, right? And this has always been me from an early age. That's the way that I've always been, right? Now, but imagine just living your life and thinking for the longest time what's around you is all that is. You know what I mean? So that could be a good thing and a bad thing. Now, I don't think that that's going to be the mentality all the time. I just think that by having exposure to the creative aspects that are out in the world, you know, the beautiful art that people do, the beautiful, you know, music that's out there, the ability for someone to learn entrepreneurship and online learning and all these different good resources that are available out there, I think by having the ability to be able to properly access those things is incredibly beneficial and can allow for a creative outlet if the parents know how to properly put a restriction on the device, and if they know how to also give the device to the child within moderation. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, not just at their disposal and everything and stuff like that. Finn in the chat, 100% agree with that. I had a cell phone at the age of 9 during a time, 2008, when I was almost 16 years old. At that time, didn't have the simple flip phone, but my family situation made my mom make that decision that it was important for me and my sister to be able to call her if we needed to. I didn't have a smartphone until high school, which, thinking back, I consider myself lucky I wasn't exposed to so much so quickly. That's very, very true. See, and that's, you know, that's the beautiful part about it, you know, because Finn is an example of, you know, like some people, there are some situations where a phone is almost necessary for your child to be able to have for them. And it's unfortunate that they have to have that access to them because of other circumstances that they can't control or the parent can't control. You know, and again, we can sit here and draw thousands and thousands of different variables and opportunity or situations where that's applicable, you know. But yeah. I'm also with Finn. I actually didn't have access to a lot. I mean, Bub, you remember when I got my first phone? I got my first phone when I was in the 10th grade. In the 10th grade is when I got my first phone. Yep, it was the LG chocolate, man. That was, and it was a prepaid phone too, which was great because when I ran out, that's it, you know. But I didn't have a smartphone at that time, and I literally, you know, like I just didn't have access to all the information. I wasn't on Facebook. I wasn't all these different things and stuff like that. It allowed me to connect with people a lot more, you know, and it was pretty good.
Was that? I don't think phones back then could even connect to Facebook, could they?
Yeah. So the way that, at least the way that the web browser worked on my LG chocolate, it was literally like this little, like, it was like 1 inch by like, I don't know, 3 inch screen, And it just, it would search the web and it would literally load up the full web page, but it was so discombobulated because it was such a tiny screen and it wasn't formatted. Like it just wasn't even worth scrolling. The only thing that actually loaded well was Google, just because it was a search bar and Google right on top of it.
Go figure.
There's a lot, you know, there's a lot of different variables to take into consideration. You know, ultimately at the end of the day, you know, it really is purely dependent on the situation. In my opinion, anyways, is purely dependent on the situation, on the family dynamic and relationships, and whether or not you're going to do it in a way that's going to be detrimental or beneficial to your child.
The capabilities of the child as well.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Like in terms of whether it would be beneficial, like you definitely should know your capabilities of your child, you know, and if you don't, then at that point you shouldn't even give them technology. You should be more present if you can in your kid's life, you know, because at the same time, again, there are some single parents out there, man, that are putting in the work and they're doing what they got to do. And that's, you know, that's, they're doing what they got to do. That's all. You know, but to kind of go back to where we originally started in terms of the whole finding purpose thing, man, I think that, you know, the original topic, of course, was, you know, does money buy happiness? And my take on it was that I think money does buy happiness, but it doesn't buy you purpose, but it does buy you time to be able to discover that purpose. But at the end of the day, for anyone that may be watching, anyone that may be listening, that power falls in your hands. If you're really truly seeking to be able to go ahead and try to discover what your purpose is, the best thing that you can do is take time for yourself. And I know that for my fiance, at least, when I say that, you know, she was like, well, what does that even mean? I'm not 100% sure what that means, you know? And realistically speaking, what I mean by that is spend time getting to know yourself, learning your self-awareness. If I can tell anyone where to start that really helped me improve my self-awareness is meditation. And it doesn't have to be this crazy form of meditation where you're in this trance-like state. Right, yeah. It's not like where you're in this trance-like state, you know, all the time. But take a moment out of the day, even if it's just a minute, to truly just focus on your breathing and nothing else. Find a quiet place, focus on your breathing, just inhale and exhale, and slowly begin to teach your brain how to be self-aware and in that moment. And you'd be surprised how much just from that alone over time can really go out and or can really make a very big and impactful difference in just learning self-awareness, you know, because at the end of the day, if you don't have self-awareness, no matter what you do in life, it's going to be very difficult to, you're going to be met with a lot of resistance. It's going to be a lot of resistance you're going to meet. So, you know, that's my take on it. What about you, Veganator?
I completely agree. If there's one thing I can tell anyone is that I was a very sheltered child. So
he's not wrong.
You would know. You definitely would know. No, it's true. It's true. I'm not afraid to hide that. Coming from that kind of sheltered background, it didn't teach me anything about the real world. It hid me from it. So I have to say that working on yourself is the number one thing that you could do to prepare you for anything. Think of it this way. Relationships will come and go. Friendships will come and go. Your parental relationships will come and go. Sibling relationships will come and go. You have you to the day you die. Make you as strong as possible so that no matter what comes your way, you're okay. And meditation helps so much. Like Brian said, he's spot on the money. It's not just staring at a wall. It's not just this Hollywood-esque thing with like auras and whatnot. They exist, but not in that creative, colorful sense. It's more of just focusing your mind to the point you shut out everything in your brain that's making noise, which could be the voices inside your head when depression talks, when suicidal thoughts talk. You learn to quiet everything and maintain control over your own mind. So powerful, yet it's so overlooked. So definitely work on yourself throughout anything. And going through your journey, always tell yourself, not in a depressive manner, but tell yourself there's still more to be worked on. And that is a wonderful thing because you'll never stop growing at that point. It's like there's still more, still more. You got to just keep pushing through it. The bad times that come and they may hurt, but recognize that's just another challenge. It's helping you turn into a better version of you once you're done.
Amen to that. I mean, you know, you can't have any growth without a little bit of pain. You know, they say in the weightlifting world, no, you know, no pain, no gains. You know, that's or is it, that's what they say, right? Yeah, pretty close. But the realistic part, you know, I think that he's, you know, he's definitely 100% right. You know, you're going to have struggles. Things are going to be difficult, but it's important to take time out of your day to have you time and really take the time to okay now mind you, for anyone that may be watching or maybe listening, this is just our recommendations from our experiences. There are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of ways out there that could benefit you guys, but the point I guess that we're trying to convey to you guys is you need to, if you really want to make a difference, if you really want to take the time to change your life for the better, you have to actively try to, and you're going to fail 100 times before you finally stand up and you know, you just keep going forward, but because there's a lot of failure involved, you know, and be realistic with the approach, you know, realistic with that approach.
Yes, definitely. I can't tell you how many times I thought, like, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to join the military. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. What I really should have thought about was, what kind of difference could I make in my immediate community? And I give that to your chat. I give that to you, and do with it what you will. Make the world change in your world. Everything around you, you have power over. You can either do your homework, you can not. You could either make peace with this person that hurt you, or you could curse the person that hurt you. The change in the world that you want to see is your immediate. Everything else around that's going on in Hollywood, or everything else, maybe your aspiration, long-term goals, that's all out here. But you're right here. You have to work your way. It's little steps at a time. And that only happens when you work on the immediate world you live in, the immediate surrounding.
Amen to that. But by the way, though, you know, Veganator, I agree with you a lot. You know, I mean, especially like, you know, a lot of people, I think a perfect example of this is that very cliche saying that you shouldn't be in a relationship with someone else if you can't love yourself. Love yourself first before you can love someone else. You know, work on yourself first before you can work on someone else. You know, because at the same time, like, you know, like you said, you know, your long-term aspirations, maybe you might want to end up in Hollywood. You might be able, you know, you may want to, those are long-term things. But at the same time, if you can't, like, you got to be able to immediately handle what's in front of you and find a way to work through that or push past it to be able to, before you can get up to that level, is my personal take on it, you know? So like, I am a huge, huge, huge advocate for just the immediate work around you, you know, especially like if you can be a positive influence for yourself, you can also be that positive influence for someone else, you know? And I think that's far more important than, you know, a lot of people make it out to be, because again, I don't feel, especially with everything that's going on in the world nowadays, I'm a firm believer that the best way to combat a lot of this stuff is people need to be able to have the ability to truly think critically and think for themselves and better themselves. You know, I think people need a better moral compass, but there's a lot of different arguments that can be made, because in that same, like on that same scale, I can say, well, maybe they do have a good moral compass because they're acting on their own perspective or in their own reality, you know, based on what they're seeing. We don't know that, you know. This is just, you know, I guess pure speculation from the outside. You know, there's a lot of innocent lives being taken. There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of violence in general, you know, and I'm never an advocate for violence or anything like that. But my point being is, you know, there's a lot of people that are definitely like, you know, I'm just a firm believer that the best way to combat a lot of those things is to be the difference that you want to see in the world and start with yourself, you know, and slowly start doing that to the people around you, you know, not manipulate them or anything like that, because, you know, they obviously want to be able, they have to want to be able to learn from you for them to actually learn from you. You know, it's that old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink it. We're just full of a whole bunch of cliche sayings. Well, I am, rather.
That's the thing, right? And no one's listening. Right. Like, I can't tell you how much truth is in that. When you are genuine with someone, you can't help but just feel that. I don't care who you are. You will automatically pick up on a genuine soul, on genuine words.
Amen.
That's why it's like, inspiration. I was talking to this one person. I heard from this girl. I was talking to my grandpa the other day. When you hear genuine will resonate within you. And I think that's what people really need nowadays. It's not just genuine. They need to understand that everybody doesn't go through the same thing the same way.
True that.
There's got to be differences, but we need to be accepting of those differences. Regardless of how it's not about, oh, my pain's greater than yours. It's about, okay, we both have pain. How can we heal?
Amen to that, for sure.